Hey there, welcome to Graphic Novel Life, the podcast passionate about recommending graphic novels for those reading them for the first time and looking for a place to start, or even if you're reading them for the 100th time and looking to try something new. Whatever your age or preference, we aim to have something for you. I'm your host, Jamie, here to help you explore the growing phenomenon that is graphic novels and visual narrative and help you extend your horizons. So today on the show, we're looking at the very beautiful On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden, a genre-mashing space epic that is absolutely stunning. Before we get to that, head over to my good friends at the Slings and Arrows Graphic Novel Review Guide, www.theslingsandarrows.com, with over 6,000 independent reviews of every genre. It is the most comprehensive guide to graphic novels, old and new, on the web. Alternatively, follow them on Twitter or Facebook for daily reviews. Now, let's get on with the show. Tilly Walden is something of a wunderkind who, since her stunning graphic novel debut, The End of Summer, has gone from strength to strength. She has an impressive work ethic, and while contributing to an anthology and producing two other graphic novels, Walden was working on her webcomic On a Sunbeam. It's a sprawling and imaginative sci-fi fantasy hybrid that has been put into print by Avery Hill Publishers, and to give you some idea, it's over 500 pages. Now, fresh out of school, Mia boards a fish-like spaceship and ventures into the grown-up world. She meets the feisty Alma, the thoughtful pilot Char, Silent L, and gregarious, never-silent Jules, who form a team restoring and repurposing old buildings in the far reaches of space. At first, Mia feels out of place, but then settles in, learning more about herself as she is dragged out of her shell by the others, slowly learning their secrets in turn. Then one day, Mia feels safe enough to share something so painful she has kept it buried for years, sparking a dangerous expedition to the staircase. A wild and unpredictable place in outer space. Few people are welcome, and most never leave. But there is one person who did, and Mia needs to see them. On a Sunbeam seems unimpressive at first. The opening page is draped in hues of blue and grey, but as the pages turn to reveal rich colours, you realise the blue hues indicate Mia's mood. All the colours and textures represent some form of emotional expression. What subsequently unfolds is a splendidly beautiful story. The way Walden depicts space is clever and imaginative, the environs bewildering and awesome, and it prompts a sympathy with Mia and her first foray into real life. Now, if any of us can think back that far, you will know what it is just to kind of navigate what it was becoming an adult and how different the world was, even if you just left college and stepped into the world of work. Now, Walden's world is unique, one that no men inhabit, and her cast prefer to be spoken to in gender-neutral terms, though that isn't exactly the norm in a world where everyone is female. At some points, space looks bleak, but it's a shrewd misdirection because Walden progressively reveals a rich and breathtaking universe. There's a notable Japanese influence on her style, with the round expressive faces and the lavish scope so familiar to Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli. It's even more evident in the imaginative creatures that inhabit the staircase. Now, there's no bad art in Walden's work, and when trying to find a sample for this review on theslingsandarrows.com, I could have chosen from a dozen sample pages. They were all really good. And in the end, I just had to pick one and try and be happy with it. But one thing you can say about the art is that it notably progresses, changing and adapting as the mood of the tale requires. Now, as Mia travels, there are flashbacks to her school days and a cherished friendship that ended abruptly. Now, at times, melancholy overwhelms. Elsewhere, confidence grows as Mia finds contentment in a new life. Each character is similarly affects the story with their own personality. I mean, Alma's frustration creates a black cloud that sucks everything in. Al's quiet demeanor is reassuring. Jules fills the panel with vivacity 10 pages couldn't contain. In some places, as you're reading it, you go, "Will you just keep quiet?" And that's how powerful that is. And in one instance, Jules's anger is barely constrained, and it just simmers on the page. The strength of emotion that Tilly Walden manages to display is disquieting and overwhelming, and at times the best action was for me to stop reading and return later, just to give myself some headspace. Now, however On a Sunbeam makes you feel as a reader, what's so great about it is that it engages you on such an intimate level, and that truly is remarkable. While all Tilly Walden's work feels deeply personal, it seems more so here. And among the many genres blended, from quasi-space western to romantic adventure, you know, is it also an emotional autobiography of a young woman's journey into life and self-discovery? There are few graphic novels capable of punching you in the heart that can make your heart ache with such simplistic beauty. And On a Sunbeam can proudly bear that honor. A story so enlightening and personally honest, yet so wonderfully told. The problem with writing reviews is you can't always fit in what you want to say. I mean, that's true for this book. With your upper and lower word limits, you can't always fit in. Sometimes you don't have a lot to say and it's quite easy, and other times it's really difficult, and it's the case for On a Sunbeam. What I've noticed about having read a few of Tilly's books is that it seems like as she comes to terms with her own identity through her work, some people vent. Tilly seems to explore herself through her work. You know, some people are verbal processors. Tilly seems to be an illustrative processor. And what struck me as I read was that Tilly was reflecting changes of mood through the coloring process. Is this a planned, thought-out technique, or was it just a subconscious natural process as she was writing down ideas and working through the art? I mean, it's subtle. You don't notice it at first, and it comes back to that in the beginning when you see the blue hues, you don't quite realize what's going on, and then you think, oh, is it going to be like this all the way through? And then the colors burst into life, and then they change constantly at points. But never just randomly. They all seem to be planned. And then you realize that as you meet Mia, she's actually depressed, scared, nervous. It's all quite in your face. And as you go further along, flicking back and forward, that you notice those sharp contrasting color and atmosphere. I mean, I myself didn't really notice about halfway through. And the whole tone of the book is quite emotional. It goes up and down. It has that quality where someone's emotional response can actually set off your own. Now, I found it very interesting because my age, the era I grew up in, and also the country I grew up in. I grew up in an apartheid era South Africa, which is very conservative. I found this very interesting to hear Tilly expressing in her work non-gender words and being addressed as non-gender. And I've wondered about this, and I found it very helpful to read through this. And I found that as I was going up and down, pulling away gave me time to think about what she was saying, what she was trying to convey, and coming back, it was kind of like a discussion, except we weren't in the room together. I had to put down the book and then listen to what was going on, and then come back and you know, could read it a bit more, and then you see where she was coming from. I found it very, very informative. Now, I think to be able to set off an emotional response with your own is a special skill. And to be able to do it, to make it so tangible, it sometimes feels like you are the focus of the emotion. And that's why I found it helpful to withdraw and to think about what Walden was saying. I mean, it's very expressive and communicative, and the art is engaging and beautiful. Tilly is still in her 20s, and I think that this is lovely, lovely work. But I'm really excited to see how her style will evolve as she enters her 30s. And, you know, starts to experience more of life as it goes on. I know myself, approaching 40, when I was in my 20s, I felt very, very invincible, like I knew it all, and had the confidence to just say things without thinking them through. Now that I'm older, I'm much more aware of my mortality, and it makes me much more thoughtful about what I'm going through and what I'm doing. And I wonder if that personal experience will change Walden's work, and that more life experience will bring new opinions and different points of views. If she's that good at this stage, I would love to see how it's going to pan out in a few years. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting topical writers in terms of being able to comment on society. I think there's such a lot more to come from her, and we celebrate her youth and the achievements that she has now, but I think that there's just so much more to come with time, and I'd love to see how it's all presented in Walden's work in the future. A big, big thank you for listening. For the next episode, I'm going to look at a supernatural-themed crime noir series that introduced a new kind of category to the genre. And if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to Graphic Novel Life. We're available across a number of platforms, including Anchor, Apple and Google, and share it with your friends, and I look forward to seeing you next time. So until then, goodbye.